God says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses. He was serious. He had witnesses. Today against you that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the cursing. He said, therefore, choose life. So God gave you the choice. Once God gave you the choice, it's not his choice to make anymore. It's up to you. You choose. He goes on to say that both you and your descendants may live. That tells me what I choose affects my kids. What I choose affects them. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life. He is your life. And the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. But he's given us a choice. To serve him or to not serve him. To love him or to not love him. To accept him or to reject him. He says all grace. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. But it's on you that it comes on you. It's not on him. It's on you. He said in verse 6, you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. See, it's in our hands. You sow generously, you'll reap generously. That's spiritual law, but it's also a law for everybody, whether you're born again or not born again. That works. There are people that are givers that don't know God that keep getting blessed. Because the blessing was pronounced on man. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. That's a picture of the kingdom life. That you'll have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he's dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. I'm so glad his righteousness endures forever. Because his righteousness is my righteousness. And so my righteousness and your righteousness endures forever. You'll never be closer to God than you are right now. You have a right standing with God. And despite what the thoughts come to cast down shame on you, to bring disparagement, to bring down oppression and depression, God says, I've set you free. I've set you free. Not going to, already have. Already have. Our sin's been washed away. We got to get on with loving the world. The war's over. God's not, his wrath is not toward man. His wrath went on Jesus on the cross. He loves us. He loves the wicked one. He loves the unlovely. And he's called you and me to do the same thing. He's given us that ministry. It's just not me in the pulpit. It's you in the pulpit. Where's your pulpit? You have a pulpit, every one of you. You carry it with you. You're just like the traveling ministers. Wherever you go, you carry your pulpit. You're always reflecting something. Jesus said it this way, out of the abundance of your heart, what's coming out? The good treasure in your heart, a good man brings forth, but a bad man brings forth bad treasure. It's whatever's in your heart. You get to choose what treasure's in there by what deposits you make. How many all have a bank account? You deposit things in there. And how many balance? Well, we're not going to ask that because not everybody's an accountant. But you should balance your checkbook to make sure you know what's in there. But you have an idea. of what's in there. Is it 10 bucks or is it 1,000 bucks? You know what's in here. God looks at what's in here. This is what's more important. We're receiving the offering now for God's kingdom simply because the devil doesn't want to fund it. He's not going to fund it. Him and his kids are not going to sow a dime into Faith Alive or the Catholic Church down the street or the Presbyterian Church or any other church. No missionary Satan's going to give money to. It's up to the good hearts of the people that trust him. That trust him. Do you trust him with your little teddy bear? Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. See, he even gives you the seed. He's a God that's not withholding. He's a God that's arms are open and hands are wide open. This is Thanksgiving week that we celebrate. How many all having turkey on Thursday? You know, how many are having roast beef? Some of you like roast beef. That's okay. You can have whatever you want. But I want to encourage you this week. Do an act of kindness to somebody you don't know. That you don't know. Go up to a perfect stranger and bless them. See what it does for them. You look in their eyes. You'll see it'll do something. And it's going to exponentially do more for you. Because Jesus said it's better to give than receive. He said it's more blessed to give than receive. I heard somebody just recently, a minister, teaching on that. And it's a revelation I had never heard before. The reason it's better to give than to receive, it's more blessed, is because you've already been blessed. If you're not blessed, you don't have anything to give. But he says it's more blessed to give than receive. You've already received the blessing. Bible says we can reap where we didn't sow. If you believe it, God needs us in the earth. He needs us healthy. You can do more for Christ being healthy. Don't live with, as Suzanne said, something you got to give over. Maybe it's some stupid thing that you've had all your life, some disease or some, and it's not bad enough to put you down on your back, but you put up with it. But it dogs you every day. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Maybe it's a sin in your life. She began preaching my service. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. I thought, dear Lord, how far is she going to go? When she said, sit down, I began to wonder. I don't know if she was looking right at me, but it felt like she was, sit down. But you wait and see. We're going to get through the offer here, and we're going to see point number one is exactly what she was talking about. God wants to supply and multiply the seed you have sown. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. Increase the fruits of your right way of doing things. Doing them God's way. That's what righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His right way of doing things. We've got all sorts of way of doing things, but we want to do his way of doing things. He wants to increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are in, at the same time, you are going to be enriched in everything. Say everything. That means every area of your life. Do you receive it this morning? Do you receive it? Then you need to open your Bible every day and you need to read that and you need to say thank you to the Father. Say, I thank you, Father. You enrich me to be a better person. You enrich me to be more like you. And the thing is, he's already done it. He's already done it. His love is inside of you. God can't love you any more than he does now. His joy is inside. Are you stirring it up? Are you letting the world know, or you got one of those sour tarts in your mouth? And your choice. Peace. How many were here Wednesday night? We talked about living the stress-free life. I tell you what, everybody needed to have been there. Because if you don't have peace in your life, you lose the ability to hear from God. That's why the devil's after your peace. No, he's after your faith. He's after everything. He's a sorry cuss. But you need to make him sorry. Put a knot in his head. He does not have horns. He has knots. I'll put a bunch of them there. When you speak the word of God, when you resist Satan, God says resist him. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. And what does he do? He runs like a scaredy cat. But you've got to know that portion of the word to be able to believe it and do it. God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I mean, if you want to become a lawyer, a doctor, you have to have some knowledge. How many of y'all go to doctors online? You know, you don't. They pretend to be doctors and say they've got these degrees. Yeah. There's a lot of degrees in hell. He says, you're enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving. 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 Through us to God. Our thanksgiving should be a daily thing we do. Not just every last Thursday in November. We should be thankful every day. Amen. Stand with me. The atmosphere here is for amazing miracles. If you didn't reach out and grab yours, I'm just going to tell you, do it now. Just do it. Nike got a hold of that, and it's made them famous, that phrase. But they got it out of the Bible. Nike, it's an old, some kind of word. It means just do it. Father, we love you, and we thank you. We give our thanksgiving to you. Father, help us to live more like you. Help us to reflect you in our everyday life. Help us, Father, to go after everything that you've got for us. Holy Spirit, live big in us. Make God proud of our actions. Holy Spirit, encourage us. May we hear your voice like we've never heard it before. Father, we thank you. And honor you with our tithes, gifts, and offerings in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Ushers, you may receive it.
I have a friend who had a friend that shared this with him, and I'd like to read it this morning. And there's a title to it. It's called Four Worms in Church and a Lesson to be Learned. It was a minister that decided that a visual demonstration would be helpful and add an emphasis to his Sunday sermon. And so he placed four worms into four separate jars. And the first worm was put into a container of alcohol. The second worm was put into a container of cigarette smoke. And the third worm was put into a container of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was put into a container of good, clean soil. And at the conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, you guessed it, dead. But the fourth worm in good, clean soil was alive. So the minister asked the congregation, "So, my friends, what did you learn from this demonstration?" And Maxine, sitting in the back, stood up and raised her hand and said, "I got it. As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms." As I said, it was a friend of a friend that gave that to me. I could not have thought that one up. If you turn with me to 1 John, 1 John chapter 5. First John, it's on page 2078 in my Bible. I'm sorry, it's chapter 1. Just back up a little. Chapter 1. First John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Turn over to the second chapter with me of 1 John. I had to turn one page. And in verse 3, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He says, but whoever keeps his word. Turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And Jesus said this. If you have a red letter edition, it'll be in red, because Jesus is speaking here. In verse 10, John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, the Amplified brings it out this way. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it. Abiding, you can't get any closer than when you're abiding. When you're abiding in Jesus, He says, if you keep my commandments, well, his commandments is his word. It's not talking about the Ten Commandments, although those are included in the royal law of love. You won't break one of the ten if you are operating in love. Now, we know we all slip and we all miss it at one point or another, but I want to set this as a basis of the message. And I can see I'm not going to finish it today, but that's okay, because we want results, don't we? It's not about getting quick through a service and going home, even though we're having a lunch. It's about, can we get results? Can we get things out of God's word that help us to live? There's things that show us in his word that will guard us, that will keep us. But he told us over in Proverbs that we need to keep our heart diligently. So again, it's back on you. Deuteronomy 30, he says, I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse, but you get to choose. So we get to choose to live our life by the word of God or the lack of it. Because things are coming at us every day. God does not, make your arm open up the Bible every day. But I would encourage you and strongly advise you to open it every day. Not religiously, but just find one scripture. I mean, you only need one word from God to change your life. And that's all his word. So let Holy Spirit lead you to where to go even. I have people ask me all the time, I don't know where to begin studying. Ask him. Why? Because he knows what you need. He knows what you need before you know what you need. So if you get there ahead of what you know the need is, you'll already have the answer before you get there. That's pretty cool. Having the answer, problem comes up, oh, I already got that answer. Instead of, oh, God, this horrible situation, and I got to go to my knees, and I got to pray, and I got to get everybody else to pray, and I got to get on chain prayer, and all of that, when if we would just take God at his word and abide in it, we could circumvent a lot of our problems, circumvent a lot of the situations. Not all of them, because Jesus did say, you're going to be persecuted. You desire to live a holy life, you're going to be persecuted. He said tribulation's coming. But those are the things he's equipped you to get through. He's given you the shield of faith, right? He's given you the word of God. He's given you the Holy Spirit. I mean, we could go on and on about all the weapons he's given us for our spiritual warfare, which will get you through anything. It'll get you through anything. As Suzanne said, it's not pleasant going through it, but you can know you'll get through it. You know, don't just drop down and cry and say, oh, poor me. No, stand up like a soldier of Christ in the army. You join the military. How many men and women have been in the military? Okay? Did you fall down and weep and cry and say, I just don't like this. I don't want to keep doing this. And the bullets are coming. You can do that and you get your head taken off. No, if you're going to drop to your knees and thank God for what he's already given you. He's already given you all that you need to win. So I want to talk to you about, I preached this message 3 to 4 years ago. And as I pulled out my notes, because this came up in me, and I said, I think I've preached on that. And I didn't get through the first page of my notes, and I've rewritten a whole new message. It's just like, why didn't I know that scripture? I was telling my wife this morning. She says, well, you've learned something since then. I said, it was only 3 years ago, but I realized how much I'd learned. I said, why didn't I put that in there? So we've got now a message that was probably 2 services. It's going to be 3 now. But that's okay, because it's designed to help you win. It's designed to give you victory. It's designed to help you endure, not like you're getting your head beat in by the devil, but patience. Patience is a spiritual force that will keep you in faith. And so because you can't see the end of it, you can spiritually see the end of it. If you see through the eyes of God, you already win. See yourself as God sees you. Oh, but I feel so weak. I feel so anxious. Stop going by your feelings. You don't have to live by your feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. Those feelings are there. Suzanne mentioned they're there for a reason. They're to help you, but they're to help you to point you to God. Point you to his word. Point you to the answer. Not just so you can endure for 6 years with this hideous thing that the devil puts on you. Or that you could have opened a door and allowed the devil to do it. Blessing blockers. God, we know God wants to bless us every day. He wants you to have that big teddy bear. There's nothing wrong with small teddy bears, but he wants you to have the big one. Okay, turn with me over to the 5th chapter of John. I want to read a story to you, because sometimes we are our own problem, and we don't like to admit it. We just don't like to admit it, that I'm wrong. But I tell you what, the quicker you can admit when you are, that you're wrong and ask for forgiveness, that gets it out of your life. And it sets you free. Thank you, Rose. You going to preach too? That's good. That's okay. And it'll set you free. But sometimes we open doors. You know, we have a door back here. And I just opened it. And that's like the back door. Well, it's front to you guys, but it's to my back. Now, by my actions, I open that door. In my life, I can open a door where it allows the enemy to come in. Come in and take. Come in and steal. Come in and destroy. I might have even liked opening that door. So here's a story that Jesus told. And actually, it's not a story that he told. It's a man that he confronted. in John 5 and 5. Now, a certain man who was there had an infirmity. So this guy's laid up for 38 years. That's too many years to put up with something. Okay? When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him and said, he should have said yes right off the bat. But notice what he says. "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up." Because he was at a pool where the angel of the Lord would come down, stir up the waters, and the first person in would get healed. That's not even in my list of way to get healed, because that was then and not today. But that was a way God healed people. And so this man says, "I can't even get in the pool. Woe is me. I'll just be here another 38 years. What are you going to put up with? God will put up with what you put up with. He's not going to override your will. That's why so often I say, you've got to draw a line. Say no more. No more to the devil. No more to the devil. You got to say no to yourself. No more opening the door to the devil, if that's the case. In this case, we're going to find out it was this man had done something. We don't know what. Doesn't matter. Jesus said to him after he complained, "Nobody's here to put me in the water. It's stirred up while I'm coming. I can't get in." Jesus says to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And of course, that day was the Sabbath, of course, and the Jews got upset because it's not lawful to carry your bed. So what should you do? Leave it in the middle of the street? I don't know. They had their, holding to the rules. "It's a Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." He said to him, this is a good response that he had, "Well, the guy that made me well told me to pick it up and walk. I think I'm going to listen to him." That Jewish man that's complaining, he probably knew he was sick for 38 years. He did squat diddly to help him. I'd have listened to Jesus too. I might be breaking the law, but you know what? Maybe I got to get out of that synagogue. Maybe I got to find me a place where they teach the word. Because they just left me there for 38 years. And said, buddy, he couldn't pick up his bed and walk anyway. He never had done that. And so on and on, he says, they asked him who the man was. "Take up your bed and walk." But the one who was healed did not know, because Jesus had withdrawn. He didn't know Jesus. See, Jesus loves everybody. He'll heal everybody. He'll set everybody free. Salvation's for everybody. Not just for the ones that come to church. That's why we got to hit the streets. We got to find the ones that don't ever come here. My ad in the Daily Sun isn't getting those people. You know who it gets? Christians. They go through the church page to see what church can we go to. The world isn't doing that. They've never opened up the paper to see what churches are even in Laconia. All right. Afterward, Jesus found this man in the temple, and he said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So Jesus identified that sin and sickness can have an immediate effect. He said, "Go and sin no more." He implied he had sinned. "Don't sin anymore, lest something worse." He's already been laying there 38 years. What could be worse? Could be blind and lay there for 38 years. Or deaf. Or on and on. So sin can have and does have consequences in people's life. Is everybody that's sick in sin? No. That's just one possibility that there is. Okay? This man evidently had opened a door at some point that brought that sickness on his life. He opened the door. So we can't always just point our finger and say, well, the devil did it. Yes, the devil's behind all sickness. But we need not to be helping him. He doesn't need help. he's doing his own thing. So anyway, He says, go and sin no more, lest anything worse comes upon you. So that's number one. If you're jotting down notes, nugget number one that could block your blessing or block your the blessings that God has for you is sin. Don't consciously know and stay in sin. Don't consciously sin. It always has a bad reward. We have laws in this country, and, you know, if you go through a stoplight, you can get a ticket, but they don't usually execute you. But there are things in this country where you do hideous enough things, and they will put you to death. That should help us. Laws are in place to help us so that we don't do those things, to protect us. God's law, because the royal law is of love. We're to love God, but we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. If you truly keep that, you won't break any of the other laws. Won't be able to do it. Number two, forgive. Unforgiveness is a huge blessing blocker. Unforgiveness. I've seen people die because they would not forgive somebody. Somebody that was very dear to me. Many, many years. I prayed for this individual many times. I cried out to God. I couldn't understand. This person seemed to have great faith. This person would go out and witness to people. Was bolder than I was. And yet, wasn't getting better, but getting worse. Couldn't understand it. Then one day, this individual was talking with my wife, and the door was open to what the problem was. I've got unforgiveness in my life. I've had it for years and years and years. It was a spouse they were married to. Wouldn't forgive them. Attacked this person and put them into living hell, really, until they finally died. There's another one I'm thinking of right now, right this week. Dealing with all sorts of physical problems, in and out of the hospital, has been all this year. And I went and visited with this person. And the Lord showed me. Said, you've got unforgiveness in your heart. And I, as nice as I could, I said, is there anybody that you're upset with? Is there anybody? And all of a sudden, you could see the anger. Two of the three people this person was angry with are already dead. and still mad at them. But it's causing physical problems. I know that's the reason. The Holy Spirit showed me. And I prayed with this individual. But I can pray with anybody. I could pray with somebody for salvation. But if they don't mean it in the heart, they're not getting saved. I'm not about just trying to make somebody to pray something. I'm not real quick to get in agreement with somebody. I got to know what's in your heart. I've had people come up here and want me to agree for something. I say, I won't do it. Sometimes when you're sitting back here, you don't know what's being said. And if it's contrary to God's word, I'll say, I can't do it. I won't do it. It gets their attention. I've had people say, I got three things wrong with me. I just want this one fixed. I said, won't do it. Why not? I said, because Jesus paid for it all. He paid for all your sin, not just one sin. Why would I want to pray for you just to get one thing fixed? It doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter to the Father. He's paid it all. It all went on Jesus. All our sin went on Jesus. This just came up. There's one song we sing where it says that he's covered our sin, and that's wrong. And I've said this before. He's washed it away. It's been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. It's not covered. Under the old covenant of the blood of bulls and goats, it was covered, but it was still there. God doesn't even see it today. That's how free we are. That's how free we are. Makes us want to live better. Forgiveness. Unforgiveness is sin. Jesus said to that man, go and sin no more, lest something worse happens. Unforgiveness is sin. Too often people just think of, you know, the big, they have big three or big five or big 10 sins or whatever. And usually I never hear about unforgiveness in them when they, oh, I think, well, this one's worse, you know. Murder's bad. Oh, I agree murder's bad. But unforgiveness is bad too. Let's just endeavor to let Holy Spirit, because it's going to take faith to forgive somebody that's, you know. Anybody all know Joyce Meyer's story? Then all those years later, the Lord said, I want you to take care of your dad. What? Bought him a house, took care of him, was there for him. See, Jesus did that for us. Can't do that naturally. That's supernatural. That's the supernatural love that's in us, that he put there. So it's in there. It's possible to forgive. Unforgiveness. You know, in Mark 11, the story of the when Jesus spoke to the tree and he answered and said, have faith in God. See, that's where our faith's got to be. Not in man, not in woman, it's got to be in God. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. But he continues. He says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So believe that you receive them. You have to take them. We talked about that last week, healing. We were talking about healing. You have to take your healing. It's been provided, you have to take it. He went on to say, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That's Jesus saying this. Did he give us a list of what things? No. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Verse 26, I've struggled with this one. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And I know that that's not in all the manuscripts, but it's in some of them. It is in the Aramaic. And over in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, it's said through him. Same thing. If you don't forgive. That's a big thing to God. We can't take it lightly. We're to be the best forgivers that ever walked this planet. You know, I've said about this ministry, I want people in this region to know us for our love. Well, you know, if you're not forgiving people, that's not love. We're not going to Corinthians 13 today, but we're going to. My goodness. Forgive them. Now, I do believe in my heart that Jesus forgave us once and for all. It's an accomplished fact. It's done. But here's the thing. Unforgiveness keeps that door open. It's not a question of God being mad at you. God can't be mad at you. He loves you. But it keeps that door open. Unforgiveness allows Satan to come in and have his way in your life. And that's not good. You don't want that. We want to find out some things that we can do. Now, it gets gooder. This message gets a lot gooder. But we've got to address those things that are uncomfortable, don't we? We can't ignore them and think, well, I don't want to talk about that. I go to church. Big deal. So do I. And I have to look at the word and apply it to my life. My card ran out. After 10 years, pastors don't have the get-out-of-jail-free card. I'm just kidding with you. I don't have one. Never had one. You know, you could sin this many times, you know. You know how wealthy I'd get if I could sell those things and get people to really believe? CBD would carry them. It'd be on their hit special list all the time. Why'd you know that? People in ministry. Everybody would want to get in ministry. You get the get out of jail free card. Stopped by the police. Nope, got this card. Oh, go on. I love you guys, and I love God's word, and the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart has been shed abroad in your heart. And we're all in this together. Every one of us is in this together. Every one of us is going to stand before Jesus. I was a teenager when I got that revelation of that scripture, and that scared me out of sin. In a lot of, I mean, I'm not saying I haven't sinned since I was a teenager. I'm just saying, that's Laura. I worked with her for a while. That wasn't a sin. Just because I told customers we could do something and we'd never done it before, that's not really a sin. And she says, what are we going to do? I said, you're going to figure out what we do. Am I telling the truth? I am now. And the reason she's laughing so hard is because it's her birthday today. I thought of it before service, but the way praise and worship was going, I wasn't going to have them stop and sing happy birthday. It just didn't seem like it was going to fit. But when we go out here, then people can sing to you. Anyway, well, I'm going to close it right there. We're going to pick up next week. It is going to get gooder, but listen, if there are things in your life that you can be aware of and make those changes that would be for the better, wouldn't you want to get rid of them? Like Suzanne said, wouldn't you want to lay them down? That was kind of an interesting, instead of bringing God our best, bring him the worst and get it out of your life. I never heard anybody say that before. But my goodness, that sheds a whole new light on, let's get that stuff out of our lives. Because the stuff is designed to destroy our lives. Glory to God. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we didn't get what we deserved. We all deserve to go to the cross, but you said, no, I have a better way. Your ways are always better. I'll send Jesus. I'll send my only son. Father, I thank you that you didn't ask me to send my son to pay for my sin. You sent your son. Father, as we reflect on Thanksgiving this week, I just ask that you'd just bring things up in each one of our lives that, and maybe there's some hidden unforgiveness that's gone way back in time in some of our lives. I pray, Father, that you'd bring it to the surface and help us deal with it. I pray because that will set us free. No more being dogged by the devil. We want to be free. We want to truly be about our Father's business. We want to truly be about reflecting your goodness, Father. Father, help us to forgive. I know it's a hard one. We have to do it by faith. So as I get into your word, you said faith comes by hearing the word. It'll allow me to do what Jesus did. Jesus hung on that cross with nails, spikes put through him, hardly being able to breathe because he was suffocating, bleeding. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We love you, Lord. And my heart is for the best for everyone here. I want this place to be known as a place of love and a place of kindness and joy and peace. Father, I want our children to be brought upright in the Lord. I want them to have a better life than we had. I want them to know at a young, tender age how they can forgive, how they can love, how they can bring and demonstrate your love at school. Father, we just thank you for your immense love. We can't thank you enough. But I pray this week that you would show us how to reach out to those that are unlovely, how to reach out to those we don't know, and just strike up a conversation. Just give them a word of encouragement, a kind word. Father, help us to live like that good Samaritan that didn't just bypass somebody that was in trouble, but stopped and went overboard, as far as most people can see, took care of him, bandaged him, brought him to a hotel, said, stay as long as you need to. I'll pay the bill. Father, we thank you for that example in your word of how Jesus would have handled things. We can do that same thing. We can be Jesus in the circumstances of people's lives. We can sometimes be the only Jesus they'll see. Help us to be on our game. We love you, Father. We bless you today. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you will continue to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, you are dismissed.